Well, then we will go ahead and turn the page and begin our lesson and study on the next discipline in this series, which is the discipline of giving. And if you would be turning to 2 Corinthians 8, we'll begin there in a moment. The passage that Josh just read for us is where we'll start out in this lesson. But just like in all these other disciplines, the reason, you know, one of the reasons it's called a discipline is it's something that you have to work at. It's an act. It's something that you have to focus on. It's something that takes some effort to become good at. When you talk about somebody being disciplined at something, whether it's their job, whether it's a hobby that they have, if they're disciplined at it, it's something they're going to work at. It's something that they've practiced, that they've thought about. Some disciplines come more naturally than others that we've talked about in this series. But it's something that needs to be emphasized in one's life in order to become efficient at it and or proficient at it and be able to do it in a way that's pleasing to God. And the act of giving is something that's no different than any of these other disciplines that we've been talking about as far as working at making it better and making it acceptable. And, you know, I think, you know, we've all been in a spot where, or at least I know I have, where it might slip our mind to write that check, and we're scrounging our checkbook for stuff at the beginning of the week to give. And we're going to be talking about several parts to the discipline of giving, not only with the giving on the first day of the week, but giving of our time and giving of our, you know, being hospitable to others. There are many ways that we can give. But it's something that we've got to focus on. We've got to set aside things for it. We've got to sacrifice. It needs to be planned. It's not something that's just going to come off the top of our head and be able to be acceptable to God. It's something that we've got to practice. It's something that needs to be taught. You know, it's neat to see little kids, you know, when I'm serving on the Lord's Supper and then when we pass around the collection baskets, to see the little kids putting the quarters and the dollar in to the basket, because, you know, they're not necessarily sacrificing anything because it's their mom and dad's dollar that they're putting in there. But they're learning that we are to give. We are to take of what the Lord has blessed us with and to give it back to Him at that particular time. And so that's a good thing to practice and to teach our young kids. And as they get older, you know, they might have an allowance or something, and we teach them to make sure you put part of that allowance back so that you can give it on Sunday. Ultimately, it's coming from all the same place, the parents. But it's teaching them. It's getting them disciplined in that area so that when they grow older and are making their own money, then they can, you know, already have that practice, already have that instilled in them, that discipline. And it's something, like I said, we have to work at it, and we have to, you know, seek to do that in a way that's acceptable to God. Because if we just do it off the top of our head, or we just reach in our pocket and what do we have in there on Sunday, we put in the basket, that's not what New Testament giving is when we're told to give of our means and as we've been prospering. And we're going to talk about some of those things as we go throughout this lesson. But in 2 Corinthians 8 and verses 1 through 5, we see here Paul teaching the Corinthians and using the Macedonian brethren as an example to these Corinthians for how they're to give. And this is one of the, you know, several places in the New Testament that we have an example. And this is talking about in verse 1, where he says, "Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." So he's speaking here about the churches of Macedonia and some of their practices and their habits in giving. And as we've read in verses 1 through 5, there are several things that we can learn from that. And we'll take a closer look at those in just a second. If you would skip down to 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9. And in verse 9, we see the example of Christ Himself and what Christ Himself gave up. And in verse 9, we're told, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you through His poverty might become rich." And, you know, how do we explain that passage? What is that passage trying to teach us right there in that verse? How can we learn from Christ in that verse, in verse 9? Go ahead.
Well, Christ. We understand from John chapter 1, verse 1 through 14, that Christ was in the beginning, was God, was with God, and all things were made for Him. And His purposes, well, if you're God and all things are made for you, you have literally everything in the world that's yours. But when He came to this earth, He became created. He gave all of that up and became created and lived among us as us.
Exactly. He had, you know, everything, and He gave up His place in heaven. He gave up all that He had in order to come to this earth so that He could live a life as we are, be tempted as we are, and then give, you know, ultimately the sacrifice of His life for the remission of our sins. And it's in that way, through His poverty, through Him becoming a man and giving up all that, that we become rich, because we have that hope of eternal life. We have that hope of salvation through that sacrifice, is by which we're saved, you know, through baptism. But we're saved and our sins are washed away through that blood that was shed. And it took Him giving all that up and becoming impoverished, as it says here in verse 9, for us to become rich. And ultimately, when we talk about the discipline of giving, you've got to have that humility. And I think that's the great example that we can learn from Christ, is the great humility that He had. He was a servant when He was here on this earth. Even though He was God, He was a servant. And He gave of Himself, He gave His life to save our souls. And if you want to be a good giver, if you want to be an acceptable and pleasing giver to God, you've got to have that humility. You've got to have that, be humble. You've got to put others in front of yourself, going along with that idea that we talked about a little bit with fellowship as well. But if you don't have that humility first and foremost, then it's going to be tough to give cheerfully. It's going to be tough to put others in front of yourself, if you don't have that humility that we see Christ having and the example that we have from Christ. And that brings us to the first point in the lesson, point A, under giving par excellence. He says they gave sacrificially, talking about the Macedonians. If we've got that humility and we're putting others in front of us, that selflessness we have, then we're going to be able to make sacrifices for others, and we're going to be able to do it cheerfully, as we'll talk about in point B. But the Macedonians, in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 2, it says that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in their riches of their liberality. And then, go ahead in verse 3, for I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing. And so we see here that the Macedonians, they were experiencing poverty themselves. It says, their affliction, the abundance of their joy, and their deep, it says deep poverty. And I think this is a great, lesson that we can learn, because the world that we live in today, I don't think that we as Americans really know what deep poverty is. I mean, we hear about it, we read about it, but as far as experiencing that deep poverty, very few of us have ever done that. Because of the blessings that we have, the country that we live in, we're a wealthy country, we have everything that we could, possibly need, and most of the stuff that we want, we have. And so, even in this deep poverty, these Macedonians were willing to give according to their ability, and even beyond their ability. And that comes from the fact that they were putting others in front of themselves. They understood the importance of their giving. They understood the need for the things that they were giving. There was a need, and they were able to meet that need, even though they were afflicted and they were impoverished. But another thing that we can learn from this is that it needs to be, sacrificial. Once again, going to our command to lay by in store on the first day of the week, if we're not making a sacrifice, then we're not truly giving in an acceptable way. In other words, if we, spend our money on everything that we want, and then what's left over we give to the Lord. That's not the idea of giving that is established in the New Testament. We'll see that more and more as we go throughout this lesson and tonight and in the future weeks to go through the entirety of it. But it's something that we need to take time to figure out, you know, budget it, say, okay, we're going to give this to the Lord and now we're going to make everything else work. But I feel, unfortunately, today a lot of people tend to make everything else work, you know, rent and all the things that we pay for, you know, our lives today with our wealthy country that we're in, and then what's left over we give to the Lord. Reality, we should set aside what's for the Lord first, make that sacrifice, and then make everything else work. Yes, sir.
Help everybody to write down and see and what their idea of sacrifice is. You know, I mean, you said you got to give up something. Well, you know, you just say that. Well, any time you give a dollar, you're giving up. You make a sacrifice of a dollar. But I know this is a subject. Is really hard, and I know when I was a young Christian, as you know, I'd ask somebody, well, how much did you give? Well, you know, I never got an answer. You know, I'm not, you know what I'm saying.
Right.
I was, you know, I'd give the right amount, and I said, well, you know, but what I'm saying is, everybody's got to figure that out themselves. Nobody's right. Going to be able to come and say, oh, well, let me say, how much money do you make? But just what you said, and something that to think about, and I worked at the same place for 34 years, and by the time we get Bill Hickman, we'd have new people come to work, and they'd start out at a salary, you know, and some of us been there a long time making pretty good money. But if you go out and look on the parking lot and see who had the new cars, it was always the young people that just went to work, and they just bought a new house. And then you hear them complaining about not having enough money. Well, now, I've when I was a young person, we had, and I've told this over and over, but I think it's a pretty good thing to talk about is a couple same age as we were, and the woman says, ask a good friend of ours, says, well, how much money do y'all give to the Lord? Well, you know, that's kind of a personal question, you know, and so she just kept on, and finally she told her how much they gave. She said, well, you could make a car payment with that. Now, in other words, she said, you could make a car payment with that. Like, hey, that's just too much,
right?
You know. But anyway, it just shocking somebody to think, oh, that's got a deal. But people that go out and obligate themselves when they really can't even make the bills. Well, and how they going to give as they prosper if they over-obligate? And I'm just saying is, when you're young, you need to start out and you need to make a budget, and you, like I said, you take it off the top, because if you don't, you're going to get in a bind where you're just really working to keep your bills. And a lot of young people go ahead and eat and keep their bills up. So, and I'm not saying that older people don't do the same thing, because we do, but, you know, young and inexperienced people that haven't been there and know what it is to make a budget and live by it. Another thing is that comes up a lot of times is, well, the Lord says, you know, we got to give. I said, does that mean I got to give every Sunday? Well, he says, as you prosper. Well, when do you prosper?
Right.
And I know
some people get paid every
week. I've got people arguing over. They get one of, well, you know, a farmer. He doesn't get paid until he goes sells his crop. When does he give his money? Well, of course, when did he prosper? When he sold his crop and got his money. You know, but what I'm saying is, they make a big deal out about whether I write my check on and give it on Sunday. And I've seen people that will write out four, they're going on vacation, they write out four separate checks and leave them and date them different. Be sure that they get, you know, the deal. But, you know, that's what I'm saying. And if it's important to them, that's okay. But like you said, the important thing is purposing in your heart and being a cheerful giver. And it, you know, anything to sacrifice and just say, well, I guess you might say, well, you got to do without something. When you sacrifice, that means you're doing without something.
Right, and you know, like you said, it's everybody's different. There's not an arbitrary percent or number that, you know, we can give and be acceptable. It's not like the commandment in the Old, you know, Testament when they were tithing to give, you know, a tenth of what they had. It's a different command. We're to give as we've prospered. We're to give cheerfully. Some people might be able to give more of a percentage of their earnings cheerfully than others. Now, you know, you could argue that they need to work on their cheerfulness there, but at that point in their life, that might be something to, that they've got to take into consideration. And what you mentioned about the racking up a lot of debt, buying a new car, house, whatever, the credit cards, I mean, there's a ton of ways to have a lot of debt in our society today. That goes back to what we mentioned earlier of it really being a discipline. You've got to discipline yourself. You've got to be a good steward of your money, which is what God has blessed you with, so that you are able to give back on the first day of the week as He's prospered you. If you're spending all your money on car payments and loan payments and credit cards, then you're not able to give, and you say, well, I gotta pay my credit card payments first. Well, you weren't a good steward with that. You didn't lay by and store as God had prospered you.
I was just listening to Jerry and thinking about the discussion that I had with the guy at work who's a Baptist. And we were talking about giving specifically. And because he goes to one of the big high dollar fancy 10,000 people, you know, Baptist churches. And we got kind of talking about the contribution. And he said, yeah, we collect, the church collects, you know, X amount, I don't know what the dollar amount was, it was pretty high. And I said, well, how much, you know, not trying to pry, but, you know, what do you give? And I knew what he made. He actually made more money than I did. He said, oh, I'll put in my dollar every Sunday morning. And I'm just like, you know, what are you missing here? And you know, tried to talk to him a little bit about it, and he just, you know, it was, you know, I've got to pay my boat payment, I've got to pay the car payment, and my wife's car, and the house, and I'm putting the kids in school, and this, that, and the other, and, you know, that's all I really have left over. And I just, your priority is, you know, that's really your priorities, is making that boat payment. Oh, yeah, I've got to have that boat. So it's you know, this is kind of like the rest of the rest of these other disciplines, though. It's where, what's your motivation? Where's your heart? And that's the big thing, that we're, you know, we're to give cheerfully. Well, that's our motivation, is to give cheerfully. So if you can only give cheerfully, you know, X amount, then that's all you can give. But that's something that you need to examine yourself.
If you were talking about sacrificing, what is it? I just throw this out and not that have one way to get on it. When we know about Ananias and Sapphira, when they sold their lot, their property, whatever, and it was stated that this is your own, you could have done with what you want. You didn't have to give it to them. And so, something to think about.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and we're not saying, you know, that you have to. And we'll talk about this in a second, in the latter part of verses 12 and 13 of chapter 8. But we're not expected to completely give up everything and, you know, live a life of poverty to give everything to the Lord. That's not what he's saying here. You know, the story of Ananias and Sapphira, the sin wasn't that they didn't give enough, it was that they lied about it. You know, he said it was yours to give. You could have kept as much of it as you wanted to, but you lied about it, lied to God, and that's what the problem was there. But, you know, with that thought about the sacrificial giving, it says they gave beyond their ability at the end of verse 3, latter half of verse 3, and beyond their ability they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. So it was a purpose they gave that, for the ministering of the saints. But then in verses 12 and 13, if you would skip down there, verses 12 and 13, it says, "For if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has, and not according to what he does not have. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you be burdened." And that last part of verse 13, "others should be eased and you be burdened," they didn't mean for them to give so much, even beyond their ability, that they were burdened so that others could, you know, not give as much, or others could be eased of that burden. He wasn't asking them to give more than they were able to. When he says that they gave more than their ability, he's really harping on the fact that they, you know, their willingness to give and their attitude, and the fact that they were wanting so much to help these brethren and to fulfill this need, that they were willing to go even beyond what their ability to give us. And exactly what he means by beyond their ability, I'm not exactly sure, you know, because we don't know exactly how much they had to give, but whatever they had to give, they gave beyond what was necessary. And that's one of the things that's shown here that we can learn from that, and we can learn from the generosity of the Macedonians, and that's something that we can think of when we're, you know, setting aside for ourselves what we are going to give. And he says at the last part, under point four there, he says the best giving comes from those who cannot afford it. If you would turn, go ahead and turn to Luke, the 21st chapter. Luke, the 21st chapter, and of course this is a story of the widow and her two mites, story that comes up, you know, inevitably when we're talking about giving and the need to give and how to give. Here in 21, we'll go ahead and read verses 1 through 4. Anybody want to read that? Hey, Phil, go ahead and read that for us, please.
"And he looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow putting in two mites. So he said, truly I say to you, that this poor widow has put in more than all. For all these, out of their abundance, have put in offerings for God. But she put out of her poverty, put in all the livelihood that she had."
Right. And so here we see the attitude is just as important, if not more important, than the actual gift itself. Money is still, it's a physical thing. The act of giving, and the spiritual nature of this discipline of giving back as we have prospered, the attitude is what it's all about. We see that that's when, you know, one difference between the old law and the new law. You know, one of the many differences we talked and we've been talking about in the class on Sunday mornings in 1 Peter about holiness and our call to holiness, the call to sanctification, to be holy, because God is holy. And one of the differences between the old law and the new law, in the old law, it's more of a ritualistic law. There were a lot of things, you know, you got to do this, this, and this. You got to make sacrifices on this day. You've got to, you know, there were certain qualifications that had to meet, even the giving. They are told how much they are to give, how much they are to tithe. Whereas in the New Testament, it just says, give of your means, give as you have prospered, give cheerfully. And so that spiritual nature of it, you know, it's the attitude is just as important as how much we give. You know, we could give everything we have, and if we give it grudgingly, then we're not acceptable to Him. And on the same, you know, flipping that around, if we give just a little bit, but we're happy to give just a little bit, well, that's not what it's all about. That's not what we're taught here in these passages and in these examples that we have of giving. And we see that with the widow and her two mites. Even though she didn't give near as much monetarily as the rich, the fact that she was willing to give up what she had, as little as it was, and have the proper attitude in doing that, that was a more pleasing gift, a more pleasing sacrifice than what the rich were sacrificing and putting all their gifts into the treasury. Any other questions, comments about that passage?
I got a comment about the giving. You see, I know members of the church think that you're supposed to give 10% and you're supposed to do more than the Pharisees did, so they give 11.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I said, there's members of the church that they think that the 10% is the guideline in giving, and to do more than the Pharisees, you've got to give more than 10%. And of course, you don't find anywhere in the New Testament where he says that you have to give 10% of your gross income.
Right, and that's one thing that comes to my mind when thinking about how much to give and thinking about what we're commanded to give. And I look back at what they were commanded, the 10% in the old law, and I look at everything, all the other comparisons of the new law and the old law. We're called to a higher calling, in this new law. God overlooks certain things in the old law that he doesn't in the new law. Well, then shouldn't, I can't help but think he's wanting us to give more than 10%. Now, how much more? 11 just because. I don't think that's the proper way to go about it. But, it's something that I've thought about. What are y'all's thoughts on that?
The other thing is taking consideration under the old law about what they didn't have, what that included.
Right.
That included a lot of things other than just giving to the church.
Exactly.
Oh, the church wasn't established at that time. But I'm just thinking there's a lot of things that people try to apply when you can't really apply. But the whole thing to come down to is the heart.
Right.
That's what
it
comes down to. And as the preacher told me when I asked that question, he said, well, that's something that you and the Lord need to work out, and so.
And it's definitely something to pray about and meditate on and consider.
Yeah,
that 10%, when you're giving, when they were giving that 10% to the temple, that was also their taxes. I mean, their religion was their government.
Exactly.
And that's what took care of the priest and all the duties they had. And, so that's, you gotta look at it that way also.
Right. And two, at different times in your life, you're able to give more. When I was in college, that was one thing I struggled with when I was going to school in college, is how much should I give on the first day of the week? Because technically I had money in my bank account, but that money was from loans, and that money at some point later on in the semester was going to run out. At some point I was going to be calling mom at the end of the semester, and sure enough, it always happened. I need $100 to get me through till that next loan check comes on.
Are you prospering or not?
Well, I wasn't, but two, it was money for me to live off of. And so in living off that, I could have, if I really wanted to, just lived off of bread and water for, that semester in school and not gone out to eat. I couldn't in good conscience not give any, because I was using some of that money to live on. I went golfing every once in a while. I would go out to eat with friends after church.
You had to give so you could play golf.
There you go. But it's about the attitude. And there are different situations throughout your life where you're in a position where you can give more, and then sometimes you're going through a rough time, loss of a job, where you've got to save. You may have that money to physically give right there, but if you don't have a job because for whatever reason you're not working at the time, well, you've got to look towards the future, and I got to take care of my family later on down. I don't know how long I'm going to be out of a job, so those are things that you've got to consider.
You're not prospering.
It definitely has to do with the heart. I mean, people sit down and try to do the math of it all, and they say, all right, I got a loan for $10,000 to go to school, and so I put $1,000 in the collection, and now I've got to pay off this $10,000 loan, so I earn $10,000, and I put $1,000 in the collection. That's 20%. And then they start doing the math like that and thinking about it wrong. And when it talks about the liberty that we have, really, it's that liberty from the strict directedness of the money. Because, like Brad was saying, the money given in the Old Testament was all laid out for what it was for. This was to feed the priest, this was for this was for that. And so, now we're given more liberty. We don't go out and say, I give my money to the Levites, and the Levites do what they're supposed to do with it, and if they don't do what they're supposed to do with it, then that's on them. My dad was talking to an elder at the congregation he went to. My dad asked him, what am I supposed to do if you start spending the money on things I don't think you ought to be spending the money on? He said, well, then stop giving. Give somewhere else. Fund a preacher in India. You know, take the however many dollars you're given and put it towards another thing that's in the Bible. You know, funding preachers in India, that's something you can do as an individual. And it may end up being the best thing you can do as an individual. If you come across a situation, and there it is, and you're there, and you're available, and you have the funds, that may be the very best thing you can do with it. A lot of times people get caught up in the rituals and the, I need to make sure that I'm, you know, I get paid monthly, but at the beginning of the month I'm going to write out four or five checks instead of just writing one check at the beginning of the month because I want to have something to give each month, and they get caught up in the ritual. And a lot of times they're not thinking, you need to think about each thing in your life and think about what's the best thing for you to do. It's like the old adage of you're driving into church and you see a pregnant lady on the side of the road trying to change a tire. I'd love to help you, but I don't want to be late for church. That's not thinking like Jesus thought. That's not thinking, what's the best thing I can do at this moment? And it's really worrisome to see people actually behaving like Pharisees and tithing the mint and cumin and then swallowing camels.
Right.
And these two metaphors.
Exactly, yeah. And we're dwelling, you know, specifically on the giving to the church, because here the Macedonians are giving to the ministering of the saints, as it says in verse 4. But there are a lot of different things that we can give our money to. I mean, there are charities that we can give our money to. You know, homeless individuals, you know, might, you know, if somebody comes up to you on the street, some people make more of a practice of that than others, you know. We're always wary to give money to somebody coming up asking for it. But that's a way to give. So if you give some of your money to those things and you don't have quite as much because of that to put in the collection of church.
Joe there in Corinth had just funded Paul going through Macedonia or whatever, and he's like, I don't have any extra income to send to Judea right now. I, you know, gave Paul all that money. He should be faulted for that.
Right.
But that happens in today's church.
Several points. Regarding the whole 10%, no, we're not commanded anywhere as New Testament Christians to give 10%, but if you don't know where to start, that's definitely a good starting point. But kind of like you were saying earlier, I think this is what you're trying to say. I mean, 10% could be not only a sacrifice, but it could be like well beyond sacrificial for some people. I mean, if we were just living off of my paycheck, 10% would put us 6 feet under.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, Rachel's going to school, so
yeah.
we can't get 10% right.
So, but I mean,
I'm paying off my student loans, and she's going to school, so there are certain times that you're, yeah, exactly.
Right, but along the lines of what Jerry was talking about, that 10%, even with both of our paychecks, is that new car payment that I could be driving around and be like, yeah, here we go. But, you know, that is part of the sacrifice. And I guess I have to work my backside off just a little bit more if I want that new car. But still, that 10% is a good place to start. Now, what Brother Justin was saying about, yeah, why not just give one paycheck at the beginning of the month or whenever you get paid, if you get paid once a month. Well, we both get paid bi-weekly. We still do break up our checks, one for every Lord's Day. That way it never pops a question in somebody's mind, well, I didn't see them giving, well, what's wrong with them, you know? And that's what we do. But yeah, I do understand his point about, well, instead of just doing that, why not just give some to the preacher in India? I do agree with that, but that's one thing that we decided to do is break it up every Sunday so nobody has a question, are they giving?
Right.
And some people like to break it up because not the ritual, like a religious ritual, but the ritual of just the habit. It's kind of like birth control. They have you take a pill every single day, even though some of the pills don't do anything. And so if you just sit there and you go, is this the week we put a check in or is this not the week we put a check in? You know, I don't know. Oh, we've missed like 9 weeks in a row now. You don't want to get in that situation.
Yeah, well, the other thing I was going to point out was the 10% number. I heard this discussion years ago from a couple of very old preachers out of West Texas. But 10%, if you look at what the Israelites gave, they were taxing 10% of all their possessions and not their income. So if you're going to do a 10% that way, figuring it off what the Israelites did, you get 10% of your house, 10% of your cars, 10% of the 55-inch TV screen you got, you know, all the stuff, it counts towards that 10%. If you're going to get that dogmatic about
right.
it.
Right.
So that's one thing.
And I'm by no means saying that, you know, that's a number we need to go by. It's interesting to look at the difference between the two laws and how we're called to a higher standard in the New Testament. It's just one thing to keep in mind when we, you know, look at that commandment to get. Yes.
I don't see on the outline, but there's also, you know, God called us to take care of our parents. We're not supposed to expect our parents to have prepared for their elder years. Now, if they have and they don't need our help financially, we still have an obligation to be there for them in other ways. But sometimes I think we forget that as an act of giving. Some people maybe can't put 10% into the plate because they're giving to their parents who maybe have financial burdens that are unseen by members because they're cared for.
Right, and that's even dealt with in scriptures. I forget the passage.
Got one more word overlay. Who's looking?
That's true.
And who's important?
Right.
It's the Lord. That's
exactly.
All. Don't worry about what this.
Yeah, and also,
I don't care what y'all think about what I give, because you don't know what I give.
Right. And ultimately, it's between you and the Lord.
But I don't care what people think about what I give. It's between the Lord and I.
Exactly.
And as elders of this congregation, I handle that money back there all the time. I handle checks, everything. But usually, it's just separating them and everything like that. But how many times do you hear sermons badgering for more money? And I think it's good when we talk about take up the contribution, that we're taking a contribution from the members, and we don't solicit money from visitors and this type of thing. But of course, money's not what it's all about. Of course, we have to have it, and we do appreciate it. That we do have people that give generously and that we're able to take care of our business.
Right. Yeah, not good to beg for money from the pulpit, but it's definitely good to preach on the principles that are taught in scriptures, and ultimately it's between you and the Lord, or you and your spouse if you're married, and what you're going to give and the Lord, and whether you're acceptable to them. And quickly, before the second bell rings, William was talking about I just want to keep talking. Well, I appreciate your comments. I'll let my dad know where we're at. Pick up with point B on next week.